Rise with me, we'll read our scripture passage for the day, which is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We'll read together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The Word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. Oh. Happy New Year. As Sam said, we just started a short two-part New Year's series on the Word, and then today is going to be prayer, and then afterwards, Lord willing, we're going to go through, I think it will take over a year, maybe a year and a half, a series called Through the Bible, from Genesis, I know, all the way through Revelation. Okay, taking each book, and I'm not spending a lot of time on each book, but a sermon or two on each book, mostly one sermon on each book, and see the whole picture of the Bible, get the big picture of the Bible. And then after that, after a year, year and a half, we'll go through an Old Testament book, a short one, and a New Testament book after that, and then go back and forth. And in between that, we'll take some breaks, some short series. So that's where we're going, all right? Okay, let me pray for us before we start and ask for God's help. And if you could join me in prayer before we start. Father in heaven, we need your help. We need heaven and earth to be one. Now, we need that miracle to happen now. We have read your truth. Your word is truth. And so take your truth, and I pray that you would open our eyes to see its beauty, its glory, its preciousness, wonder, that we would incline our hearts in 2020, your testimony to incline and bend our heart to your word and to prayer. I pray. Help us now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. I would like to encourage you. I would like to exhort you, challenge you, and lead you to give yourself. To give yourself to God's Word and to prayer in 2020. Give yourself. Give yourself. Give yourself to God's Word and in prayer in 2020. The Word of God. The very words of God. God, God, These aren't words of man. These are the very vocal cords of our God. Don't just lick this once in a while in the year 2020. Live here. Stay here. Eat this. Read this. Study this. Pray this. Give yourself. Give yourself in 2020 to the Word of God and to prayer. My goal in the sermon this morning is that you, the church, will become a daily regular reading the Word and prayer, not a mainly crisis prayer peoples. I met a woman this past week, I forget if it was Wednesday or Thursday. I went to around the quiet DMV to get my driver's license. I was in Wisconsin, I have a Wisconsin driver's license, and then I wanted to get a New York driver's license. And when I went there, I don't know, I got like 9 or 10, long line. And a woman in front of me, started talking, and she was complaining about how long the line was. And inside, I was complaining too. Okay, yeah. Looks like I have to wait here like 2 or 3 hours. And she just started talking, and you know, when people want to talk, I let them talk. And she was telling me about our kids and that she's retired, and she was a nurse for a long time, for 40 years, and now she's working part-time. And she just kept talking, you know, as the line got shorter and shorter and shorter. And then she asked me, so what do you do? And so I thought about it for a second, and I said, one more clergy. He's like, oh, I'm a Catholic. I grew up Catholic. And all my kids went to the, you know, when they were little kids, they went to a Catholic church. And so I said, do you still go to Mass? That's what they call it, service Mass, in the Catholic denomination. And she goes, oh, no. You know, I did that when they were little kids, and I don't go anymore. But I still pray, though, especially when I have a crisis in my life. I pray. When I have bad times, I pray. Okay. Don't be like that. Don't be mainly praying to God only when a crisis in your life happens. Be a daily, regular, steadfast, continuing in your prayer in 2020. Now, I want to help you, hopefully, get your mind thinking about prayer. And I'm going to approach it this way. My kids, my Noah is really into some planets and, you know, astronomy. And if you could put it up. So this is a galaxy. Okay. Next slide. Another view of in the sky our galaxy called Milky Way. Next slide. In the Milky Way, there's us right there. Solar system. And in our solar system, there's a sun, right, and all the planets, right? Next slide. There's you. There's us. Okay? Can you see RCCC right there? Our universe is huge. It's massive. It's big. Give you some data here. Milky Way has around, get this, try to wrap your minds around this. Just our galaxy, okay? Milky Way has not 100 million, okay? 100 billion solar systems in our Milky Way galaxy. Milky Way has approximately 100 to 400 billion stars. Now the entire Earth, not up there, the entire Earth, our Earth, is about 8,000 miles across in diameter. Jupiter, which in our solar system, the biggest planet, is 87,000 miles across. Our Sun, in our solar system, is 864,000 miles across, 10 times bigger than Jupiter, 108 times bigger than the Earth. And so in our Milky Way, okay, it has 100 billion solar systems. Okay? And our Milky Way is a small part of this called, sometimes called supercluster. And in the supercluster that our Milky Way is in, it's called the local group. It's called, I don't know if I'm not pronouncing it right, Laniakea. Okay? And in the Milky Way, in the supercluster has galaxies inside of it. And there's about 100 to 150,000 galaxies in our supercluster. And in the universe, observable by the Hubble telescope, okay, observable. There's more. There is about 100 million superclusters observable in the universe. That is big. That is massive. I'm not sure if we could get our minds around how massive our universe is. Our Earth is big. United States is big. And it says in the Bible that God, in Psalm 8:3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained or created, our God, in this massive universe, he flung it with his pinky. He created this massive thing called the universe. That's to say, there's nothing more important, nothing more higher that a human being can engage in 2020 than talking. Talking to the creator of this universe that you and I live. You are talking, prayer is talking, communicating with the God who flung the universe. Absolutely incredible that we have this privilege. Prayer is beyond any question. I don't know if I convince you how important prayer is. Prayer is beyond any question the highest activity. I mean, if there's anything higher, let me know. I don't think so. The highest activity that a human soul could do in 2020. There's no greater activity that a person can do than praying, talking, and communicating with the Creator of the universe. And without any question, prayer is also the ultimate test of a man's true spiritual condition. Look at what this greatest preacher in Christendom, Spurgeon, says about prayer. Quote, "A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. Prayer is the lisping of a believing infant, the shouting of the fighting believer." Another quote by J.C. Ryle. What is the cause of most backsliding? Backsliding is burning out, You know, you're not really interested in Christianity anymore. You know, you're just kind of not really with it. Spiritual backsliding. The activity is less now than before. When you became a Christian, it was vigor, and now it just years goes. That's called backsliding. Less spiritual fervor and passion. And he says, I believe, as a general rule, one of the chief causes is neglect of private prayer. And so I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to exhort you to give yourself in 2020 more than 2019 to God's Word and to prayer. Make time, fight for time for prayer. I have three things I want to say about prayer relating to you. Number one, prayer is the very grace. It is grace to you. God has given you a gift. Prayer is a gift to you. Take it. It's not a chore. Is a gift to you. God has given you, if you're a Christian, if you become a Christian, born again, God, your Father, has given you a gift. A New Year gift to you. A grace to you. Take it. There's a hymn called Sweet Hour of Prayer. And look at what this hymn writer says about prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. And the next line, and bids me at my Father's throne. Bids me. He's inviting me. Come. Come. Take the gift. Receive the gift. Receive the grace that God has given you. Take it. In 2020. God has given you a lot of graces when you became a Christian. And one of the graces that you feed on for your life, for your spiritual life, is called prayer. Praying to, talking to the Creator of the universe. Incredible, incredible privilege that God has given to us. Prayer brings life to your soul. Again, these graces that God has given you thrive on the Word and prayer. And when you neglect it, you know what the graces do? Okay? The graces shrivel up. You're supposed to give life and vigor to the graces, but when you neglect it, when you don't do it, it all shrivels up. Okay? Prayer is life to your soul. It is sweet. It is coming to God, and all the cares of this world, you leave it at His feet. It is not a burden. I don't think you and I understand our prayer if it is a chore and a burden to us. It is a gift to you. It is a grace for you. Come. God invites you to come and talk to Him. To communicate to Him. You talk to Him and He talks to you. Right? which comes to my second point of prayer. Not only is a grace to you and a gift to you, prayer is, as you know, most of you guys think it's a relationship. It's a relationship. As you know, I'm married. I'm a married man. Can't show my ring to show it, but I really have one. Yeah. Anyway. And in a marriage or any kind of relationship, boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, and husband and wife, in a relationship, it takes some effort. It should. Not only effort when you're dating, okay? It actually takes more effort in a marriage or any kind of relationship. This togetherness, meaning spending time with each other. In what? Just looking at each other? No. In a relationship, there should be a mutual communication. Not just about, you know, often when my wife tells me, oh, we're not talking. Yes, we are. We talk all the time. No, but we talk about everything else, you know? Talk about a house or finances or our kids. Like, we don't really, like, talk. We used to do that when we were single. Or, like, single, like, not kids. No kids. We didn't have Noah. You know? We used to have these Monday talks. And these are talks that we had Monday lunch. And we'll really, really talk. Talk about things that we both need to improve. Maybe we had an argument that week, and we will talk. Look at into each other's eyes and really be honest and talk to each other. Communicate. What are your fears? What do you want in this life? What's going on? How can I pray for you? Can you pray for me and my fears? It's a relationship. Prayer is a relationship with your God. He is your Father, and you are His child. It's hard to have a relationship when you're hardly talking. That is not a relationship. So, how are we doing in your relationship with God? And it's not a mystery, you know, pastors and the church, which I talked a little bit about in Sunday school, that prayer is just, it's not really popular. It's a relationship, right, with our God. Okay. The more intimacy that you have, the more closeness that you have in communicating, okay, that's prayer. It's the highest activity that a human soul could engage in with God. Nothing higher. And yet, it is the least practiced. Just think about that. Why is that? Why is prayer the least practiced corporately and, I'm going to say, even privately? The least practiced. You know, if you have to choose word and prayer, word makes sense. You know, yeah, I need to do it. Prayer is like, where is it? You know? It's the least practice. It should be the highest practice. Yet it is the least. I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you and challenge you to give yourself in this relationship with God that you have in prayer. May you find, receive the gift and find joy in this relationship through prayer, talking to Him, and He talks back to you. You can't have any meaningful relationship and say, oh, I love you, God. You're awesome. Oh, yeah. And you sing praise songs and you don't talk to Him. What kind of relationship is that? That is not a relationship. That is not. God invites you. It's a gift to you. It's a grace to you. It's a gift to you. Take it. Come. He bids you to come. Come, Eileen. Come to Him. And 2020, communicate, talk to the God of the universe. And don't be mainly a crisis Christian, prayer Christian. You know, don't we hate people like that? You know, they only call me when bad things happen. Don't you want a relationship with me? You only call me when you need me, but you don't call me anytime, you know, other time. I mean, I want you to call me when you need a crisis. Please call me. Flat tire, call me. You know, and I'm there. But I hope that's not the only time that you call me. You call me because you wanna, hey, let's go eat. Yeah, let's have coffee. Let's talk. There's a relationship. Not just call me when you have a crisis in your life. A steady, continual prayer life in 2020. And number three, prayer, which is our text today. Prayer is knowing that life is war. It's very interesting that Paul talks to the church and he talks about this darkness and spiritual forces and the spiritual battles going on in the heavenly places, you know, and shield of faith and all these flaming darts are coming at us, you know, and giving us a picture of what's really happening. The spiritual battle, spiritual war, and then he ends that with pray. Another reason that you should want to pray and challenge you to pray in 2020, give yourself to prayer, is because life, you understand, it is war. Paul understood this. And in this war, there are opposition. Whether you see that or not with your physical eye, it doesn't matter. There is war. There's a spiritual warfare. And there's enemies who's trying to take you out. What are the oppositions? You've got lots. This flaming arrow is coming. The enemy is coming. And what are the enemies? Satan is an enemy. Relentless enemy. Peter says, he's like a prowling lion ready to devour. He's trying to just... He wants to not just cut your arm, but he wants to cut your head off. He's prowling like a lion to devour. The prayer is, I know there's war. The spiritual warfare. One theologian says, Satan never sleeps. He's always awake, trying to trip up God's people. Trying to lie. One of his main methods is to lie to you. Is to try to cover up what's real. Fancy cover. Inside is death. It is war. So prayer, if you know there is war, then we pray like that there is war. God, save us from this Satan who tries to lie to us. How do you combat lies and half truths? God, help us. He's coming. Help us to know the truth. Teach me your truth in 2020. That I might know your truth. Not with one hand, two hand, three hand, four hand, five. But grasp your truth. I know your truth. I won't be tricked by his lies. God, help me. There's war. Save me from this great adversary. Do you see him? He is at work. He is here. So he's a principality of the air. There's the world. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Do not love the world. Not the first world that God made, the perfect world in Genesis chapter 1. This is a world that we have recreated with our sinful flesh. The cravings of the things in this world we want. Do not love the world or things in the world. There's nothing wrong to have stuff in the world. I have an iPad. What's wrong with that? But don't lust after it. Don't crave after it. Do not love it. Don't make that your number one goal, to have this world or things in this world. Make war against the world. Store treasures in heaven, not on earth. Seek above, not things below. Help me, God. I am bent towards this world. My flesh is bent towards craving and lusting after things in this world. Accomplishments in this world. Resumes in this world. And you know the last one, the great enemy is you. And it's me. We often, with our sin, rebel against God. We don't do what we should do. And we know. You know, there's one thing if you didn't know that was wrong and you did it. Okay? What we do know is wrong. In the heart of your hearts, you know sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. And you do it anyways. Right there. There's the enemy. My self will rules. My will or the what? Or the highway. I mean, yes, God's will is here and I'm supposed to do it, but my will reigns. I do whatever I want. I know the Bible says so, but not now. I don't have time. I'm busy. That will right there. We all have it. Is the flesh, is our sinful hearts that God cares about. And we need to go. I often go to God. You should too. Every day I go to Him. And He already knows my heart. You know? That it's not like Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He is perfect. He is perfect in every way. And he looks at my heart and there's things to work on. Not like Jesus. How Jesus is so patient. I'm not patient. With the very people that I love and care about, my wife and my kids and other people. God, help me. Help me. I crave after the things in this world, if I'm honest. What do you live for? What do you want in this life? Do you want God and prayer, or do you want other things? What are you busy doing? What do you want? What is in the depths in your life that you desire? What is that? Do you want God, or do you want stuff and busy doing stuff? What are you craving? You don't tell me. You know. And is that supplanting God and His rule, His word? Help me, God. Help me. I see that. And I go to God. And God, I see this sin, this rebelliousness, and I give it to Him. Because He's the only one who could fix me. That's prayer. It's raging war. Not just Satan. Not just the world and our lust after it. You, the self, and me. To completely be in subjection to King Jesus, bowing our knees and lives before Him. Do you need to work on that? Raise your hand. Everyone, you should be raising your hand. We're not there as we ought. We could improve in 2020. Amen? Yes, you can. Go to Him. He invites you, Sam. He invites you. Come, Sam. Come. I want to help you. There's a gift for you. There's a grace for you. There's war. Don't you see? Paul's saying that. There's war. Present darkness of evil. Darts are coming at you. What are you doing? Watch football? Go to Him. Prayer is God's gift to you. His grace for you. He bids you to come. Come, my children, come to me. Who you are heavy laden. And I will what? Give you a sweet hour of prayer. Most of you, I don't want to go to a prayer meeting. You know, at our church we have prayer meetings, you know, corporate prayer meetings once a month. And we have joint prayer meetings. You know, every week we have prayer meetings. But once a month we have this joint prayer meeting, English ministry and Chinese ministry. Okay. Not a really good turnout. Okay. Oh, it's snowing. It's too cold. I hate the cold. You know. Good thing I live like right next door. I have no excuse, right? I live too far. You know, 20 minutes. All kinds of reasons. I'm too busy. But it is God's grace for you. You need it. You need prayer. It is not a burden. It is sweet. A gift. You know, God would never give you a gift that is burdensome, even though you think it is burdensome. But it's a grace for you. So that He wants to have a relationship with you. And prayer is because life is what? It's a battle. It's a battle. So, let me give you some application here, and I'm going to end. You know, it takes some level of commitment and discipline. You know, and do whatever you think that you can do. I mean, don't overachieve. Oh, God, I'm going to pray for 1 hour a day. Well, that's going to last only for like a month or a week. All right. You know your level of discipline. And every year, try to get better at that. Work on that. It takes work. You know, discipline takes work. Reading the Bible takes work. Prayer, it takes a lot of work. So it takes discipline. So schedule it. Tim, every time I wake up in the morning, I'm going to pray. For however long. Give your best time. Don't give the crumbs. You know, Spurgeon says, Christians, they give the crumbs. They give all the vigor to the stuff in this world and every energy. And then prayer and the word when they're tired, you know, before they go to bed. I mean, unless your vigor is great before you go to bed. Usually I turn to a pumpkin at 10 o'clock. Can't think. You know, so that's giving the crumbs there. You know, I can't think. So morning for me is wide awake. Give me 2 cups of coffee. I'm good. So I do my prayer and reading, and I schedule it, okay? Whatever that might be, you know. Sometimes something comes up, it's all right, I feel guilty, but schedule it, be disciplined about it. And then reading the Word, do whatever plan that works for you. There's lots of reading Bible reading materials and you know, schedules. One chapter, one paragraph, whatever, start somewhere. And I know it's already January 5th. Who cares? Okay, start now. Start tomorrow. Schedule something in the day. Like you schedule other things to do. Schedule the time. Put it in your calendar. from here to here, I will do this. Okay? And here, I will do this. Discipline and grow in that discipline month after month, year after year. Another thing, you know, it's hard to do it by yourself. I realize that, you know, for a lot of you. For me, I'm fine with me and the Bible. I have no problem reading my Bible by myself, but it is good. It is good to have other people read with you. So Isaac calls, hey, you want to read with me this week, 2020, once a week, 30 minutes? Let's read together and talk about it. Do it together. Do it in a group. Do something. Do something when you leave this church. Schedule something. Be disciplined about it and schedule it. Amen? The Word. Give yourself to God's Word and give yourself to prayer. Church, let's pray. Father in heaven, it is an incredible privilege that you have given your children to come and speak to the Creator of the universe. Help us. May you make it a joy. With eager expectation, help us to taste and see that you are good. Open our eyes to see it. I pray. Help us. Help us, our children who are starving because we have neglected Word and prayer in 2019. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. And you do. You are. You're an amazing God. The years that the locusts have eaten, you can restore in 1 second. And so as the year 2020 is here, oh Lord, help this English congregation and our church to give ourselves wholeheartedly in discipline to the Word of God and to prayer, I pray. Make that miracle happen. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.